The change of presidents early last year marked a change in approaches to illegal immigrants in America. The work of ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ramped up in many parts of the country, with people living here without official status rounded up and prepared for deportation. Plans call for the hiring of thousands more ICE agents to continue and expand the work, which troubles people who do not have legal immigration status and their supporters. On the North Coast, True North Organizing Network set up a rapid response team to keep track of ICE raids and their impacts in Humboldt County. Brenda Urueta is the Coastal Humboldt Organizer for True North Organizing Network, and she joins us with some information about the efforts. Brenda, thanks for joining us today.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
You have lots of different approaches to things you do at True North. Can you give us a bit of an overview of the network?
Yeah. So what we really strive to do is work in we work in faith communities. We work in communities with spiritual grounding. And we build a multi-faith, multi-race approach. And a lot of what we do is leadership development and coaching people in how to have a public voice. And really getting people unified in values and working together towards change.
All right. So when you say leadership development, a chance for people to realize they do have some power and can exercise that and can show other people how to do the same.
Yes.
So talk about the formation of the Humboldt Rapid Response Network.
Last year in May, we're part of a national network that is PICO National Network, so People Improving Communities Through Organizing. They actually just recently changed their name to Faith in Action. And we're also part of a statewide network, PICO California. And early last year, people were thinking of ways that we could really stand with undocumented people who are being targeted by this administration. And across the network, we've got about 30, possibly more, rapid response networks. And we talked with our leaders here on the North Coast to ask them, you know, is this something you would want here? And how can we bring people together to work on forming this? And our leaders, you know, they said, yes, this would be great to have this here. Some of our leaders are the Sun Valley Seven, who were affected by worksite raids back in 2008. And really, you know, we're thinking, oh, this would have been great if we had this when we were detained. We brought leaders together, and I formed a design team, and they've been working on this for the last year, and we launched the hotline publicly in January.
So a hotline, is there an actual phone number to call?
Yes, there is a phone number. So it's 707-282-5226. And so the hotline, how it works is you call in, and if you suspect you're seeing immigration enforcement. And what happens is we dispatch volunteers to come observe and document what's happening, partly to make sure that human rights are being honored, and also to provide support in the event that somebody is detained or deported.
So when you talk about volunteers showing up to observe, is it just that? I mean, is it just monitoring? Is there any intervention? Are you advocating anything like that? Or should people really stand clear of what's going on?
No, we do not advocate for interference. We're actually, you know, explicitly telling people we're not trying to stop the enforcement action. We're actually just there to observe and document what's happening. And then in the follow-up, providing support to the families who are affected by this.
And so, Brenda, has there been much ICE activity in Humboldt County on the North Coast generally?
There hasn't been, and we have received some calls when there were enforcement activity happening in Northern California back in February. We received a lot of calls. Unfortunately, a lot of those calls came through third-party people who have heard something, so it wasn't really necessarily somebody who was directly seeing something happening. So it's difficult for us to send volunteers when we don't know where to send them, or when people call us after the fact.
So have there been some false alarms where people say, I think something's going on, and have you sent people out to places where there has been no activity?
Yes, we've sent people out twice, and there hasn't been any verified activity.
Okay, so just twice then. Have there been situations where you did send people out and there was activity?
No, we haven't had any of those situations. So I think part of it is, you know, getting the community to practice calling when things are happening, which, you know, can be difficult, I think, if you're in a situation that's terrorizing or, you know, threatening to you. So we haven't had any verified activity since the hotline has been launched in January.
Okay, we're talking about the Humboldt Rapid Response Network, formed to keep an eye on activities of Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, if they do some raids along the North Coast. Brenda Urueta is a True North Organizing Network's Coastal Humboldt Organizer. Questions, comments from you, welcome on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email. It's jx@jeffnet.org. You did mention that there are other groups like yours around the state and around the country. And so have those networks had a chance to do more work than has happened on the North Coast?
Yes. So, for example, there's an organization, or actually there's a group of organizations in San Francisco who have been working on this. They started theirs a bit earlier than we started ours. And there's a lot more activity in the Bay Area. So they've actually had, you know, cases where they've responded and actually, you know, witnessed activity and have actually found that, you know, when they do respond and when they send volunteers, to observe that the enforcement officers are a lot more polite and kind to people. So if, you know, if nothing else, just that is helping us realize that this is a valuable tool.
So that's a big part of it, is to make sure the documentation is going on so that that people are doing what they're supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure for a lot of people, this gets to that zone, though, of wait a second. So we understand the concerns, but the fact is that people are living here illegally. So, you know, if the law has to be enforced, the law has to be enforced.
Right. We do have a lot of that sentiment, and especially now, you know, that it's been an issue that's been politicized. And, you know, I think when we think about illegal immigration in the way we do, I think we're actually thinking in terms of recent history in the last, you know, 10, 15 years when, you know, this country was actually built on immigration, on people moving here from other places. And in our faith communities, you know, we really come from a point of reference. You know, in the Bible, it talks about welcoming the stranger in our midst. And it's really not that immigration has changed so much, it's that the laws around immigration have changed. And so in recent years, when we're seeing it be politicized in such a way, it can, I think, really change our framework around it.
So you're saying it's a situation where people have come to this country in conditions that used to be legal and are no longer legal?
Yes. Yes. So, you know, for example, in the 80s, we saw an influx of people from countries such as Honduras and Nicaragua, and a lot of the people seeking refuge here, you know, had experienced environmental disaster, violence, and still are to this day. But in the 80s, you know, programs were implemented to welcome those people, such as TPS, and that's temporary protected status. And so this was, you know, giving people the ability to seek refuge here, seek asylum, providing a pathway to citizenship, providing a pathway to be here legally, which has now been canceled. And so you have, you know, hundreds of thousands of people who are going to be forced back to their countries, many of whom they don't know that country. They didn't grow up there. When we look at our immigration system now, it's actually a lot more complex than some people might think. You can't simply, you know, go and apply for citizenship, you know, in one day and you're done. It's a very expensive thing to do, and it takes a lot of time. Navigating the immigration system is very difficult, even for people who are citizens.
We're talking about immigration crackdowns around the country and responses. In this case, the Humboldt Rapid Response Network is set up to keep an eye on ICE activities, should there be any, on the North Coast. Brenda Urueta is with True North Organizing Network, which set up the Humboldt Rapid Response Network. She's the Coastal Humboldt Organizer for True North. If you have questions or comments about the situation, please join us on the exchange, 800-838-3760, to get a phone call in here, or you can send emails to jx@jeffnet.org. I want to point out that there has been ICE activity on the North Coast in the past, hasn't there? I mean, some raids on employers in previous years, things like that?
Yes. So I think in 2008 was the last largest enforcement that happened, and some of the leaders who I work with actually were, you know, there and experienced it. So Sun Valley Farms, about 300 people were detained that day, and it was in September. And following up from that, actually, ICE went door to door to people, because when they did the worksite raid, they obtained people's information, where they lived, and went and, you know, in some cases knocked down doors. In some cases, you know, children would open the door and they would detain people. So so that was, you know, I think a traumatic experience for a lot of people here on the North Coast. We haven't seen anything that big since, not that I know of. And, you know, with this administration, I think we're actually trying to think about preparing for that in case it does happen.
What was the fate of the Sun Valley 7 that you mentioned earlier?
We still have, three of those people still have active cases. They've been appealing, they have legal representation, and they've been appealing their case, because they were, detained unlawfully. Because what happens is, often when ICE comes in, they have what they call an administrative warrant, and this warrant isn't signed by a judge. And it doesn't offer due process when people are detained. So their cases are being appealed because they did not, ICE did not come with a warrant signed by a judge. And in most cases when that happens, it's because somebody has a previous criminal record, a conviction, and that has to be a felony or a serious misdemeanor. So there's certain categories for that. So when people are detained simply by an administrative warrant, it's a violation of people's constitutional rights. So three people are appealing their cases right now, and four, I believe two or more have been deported. Some people's cases have been dismissed. So even though these seven people were detained under the same circumstances, each of their cases has been treated very differently.
Okay, I see the point. An administrative warrant versus a judicial warrant signed by a judge.
Yes.
Okay, big difference. Yes. One case in particular that you highlight at the True North Organizing Network website is that of Claudia Portillo. What happened to her?
So Claudia is actually still in a detention center. She was at her immigration case is actually in San Francisco, and that's where she was originally detained. Mm-hmm. And what happened was, after she appealed her case in San Francisco and the immigration judge denied it, they transferred her to Bakersfield, to a facility called Mesa Verde. And she's actually still in detention. She's been there for the past 6 months or so. And, her lawyer is still appealing her case. We are actually, in touch with her and organizing some community members to send her letters to let her know that we're with her and that we're fighting to get her out. And we're really, you know, seeking justice in her case, because there's no legitimate reason for them to be detaining her.
And does she have papers? Is she in the country legally or not?
She was brought here in the 80s. You know, her family, they received TPS. She had
temporary protected status. Mm-hmm.
Yes, temporary protected status. She had received, as far as I know, she had applied for TPS when she was younger, and I think possibly because of a paperwork mix-up, she didn't get it. So she's been here since she was 7 years old. This is, you know, mm-hmm. her home. This is the country she knows. She had been going to check-ins with immigration over the last, you know, 10 years. And they just decided, you know, that they were going to detain her, just kind of arbitrarily, I think.
And that was last November?
Yes, that was in November.
So I want to point out that you, while you have the Humboldt Rapid Response Network and you're trying to monitor activities of ICE, should there be any, I want to point out that True North Organizing Network also works, it looks like, fairly closely with the local police. So what's that relationship like?
So we started actually doing some research last summer with leaders, with our local organizing committees. And this was around the time when Senate Bill 54, or the California Values Act, was being introduced. And, you know, we started to do research, you know, locally, you know, what's the, what are the positions of our local leaders here on this issue? And what we found was, you know, a lot of law enforcement, police chiefs and the sheriff expressed, you know, not having a relationship with our undocumented communities and wanting to build that. And so we began with an action in September where we asked the sheriff, we had looked at some of his policies, Humboldt County Sheriff, Billy Hansel, and we had looked at some of their policies and found that, you know, there were some things our leaders wanted to change. And our leaders asked, you know, can you change the language to say, you know, undocumented immigrant rather than alien? Because alien is dehumanizing. And even though that is the legal language, if we really want to shift the way that we're looking at people, it kind of starts with our language and how we talk about the issue. Mm-hmm. Some of the other things we asked were for Arcata Police Chief, Eureka Police Chief, and the Sheriff, as well as Humboldt Bay Fire Chief, to implement implicit bias trainings in their departments, which, you know, during that action, three of them had said they would do.
Yes, and Eureka has done. We talked to them recently, yes.
Right. And so we've been, you know, following up, meeting with them, and we organized a smaller forum in April, with Arcata Police Chief before he resigned. So this is before Chief Tom Chapman resigned. Had, you know, kind of a smaller forum about, you know, what's the status of your relationship to ICE, and has that changed since our last, you know, action that we had? And, you know, I think our local law enforcement has thus far said, you know, we don't collaborate with them unless, you know, there's a serious conviction involved. And most of the time they're not even aware that ICE is here unless they're actually collaborating on something.
Mm-hmm. All right. So the point of the Humboldt Rapid Response Network is if ICE should happen to show up, there will be calls mm-hmm. to that hotline to let people know about it. Organized by the True North Organizing Network, where Brenda Urueta is the Coastal Humboldt Organizer. Thank you for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me.
Yep.